My children saw him first. They describe him as having long, gray, scraggly hair, sunken eyes, and he was wearing a black drover coat. He had chains around his feet. And my son came running up the stairs to the kitchen and he said, "Mom, there's a creepy guy downstairs in the basement and he is telling me to come to him." Welcome back to That Creepy Radio Show. I'm your host, Nikki Luciano, along with my co-host, William Crooks.
Salut.
Today, we're going to be talking about shadow men, or shadow people, however you prefer to call them. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I guess we start with, what is a shadow person? I have been looking into it, and I watch all the paranormal stuff, so I'm kind of familiar with this anyway. But a shadow person is defined as the perception of a patch of shadow as a living species, kind of a human figure. It's sometimes interpreted in the presence of a spirit or another entity. It's a big phenomena, especially now. It seems like it's growing. Basically, people say they catch it in the corner of their eye. You look over and nothing's there. I'm sure we've all experienced that. But more to the point, it comes back. And there's been people that say, yeah, I saw it direct on. Some people say they have dark sunken eyes. Some people have reported red eyes. But they all have things in common, like the shape of a human. They pass through walls. If you Google it, there's a guy in the late 70s who had a camcorder and he was filming his room because weird things were happening. And there's really compelling evidence of an empty chair and then this black figure sitting in the chair, stands up, and then passes through a wall. After that, something else crosses the wall. So that's basically the phenomena as I understand it.
It's funny that you said that they actually videoed it. My son Dante was probably about 15 years old, and he was upstairs in his room, and I was downstairs in the family room. I had a fire going in the fireplace, so I had to tend to it. All of a sudden, he came running down the stairs, and he was screaming all the way down the stairs, "Mom, Mom, you got to come see this." And I'm like, "What in the hell's going on?" And this was somewhere between noon and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, "There was a man standing in front of my TV." I says, "What do you mean there was a man standing in front of your TV?" And he says, "I was laying on my bed watching TV. All of a sudden, I hear this cracking noise, and it sounded like somebody was cutting glass." He said, "I grabbed my phone and I turned it to video, and I captured a man standing in front of the TV. But when I turned the phone off," he said, "there was a crack going straight down the center of the TV set."
Like the TV was broken?
Yeah, the TV screen broke right down the screen. And I still have that picture. I went on the video and I wanted to capture a screenshot of it, you know?
Yeah.
At first I thought it was just an image inside the TV, but I blew it up. And you can see that the image of the man is taller than the TV set, and it was standing on a dresser, so the TV probably stood about 6 feet tall.
Wow.
So this black shadow image was right there, and you could see he was wearing a hat, and it was pure black, and there was no facial features, no nothing. How do you explain that to a 15-year-old kid, you know? I said, "Well, I don't know, when your TV screen cracked, maybe light refraction, you know?" But he bought it for a while until he got older. And then he was like, "You know that crap you tried telling me about light refraction?" He says, "Yeah, that doesn't make any sense."
Yeah, kind of the same stuff your mom tried to pull on you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you have to, as a parent, try to comfort them and, you know, let them know that they're safe.
So as far as what they are, there's a lot of theories out there, obviously. Some people say, oh, they're spirits, and interesting descriptions of how that might take place. They're saying you have spirits, and we normally think of spirits being more looking like people. Sometimes they seem more white or light or transparent, you know, shades of light.
Yeah.
But they're saying this is possibly a spirit that's moving through your realm, and it's not trying to be seen. It's not trying to manifest its appearance as it would have been on Earth or however it sees itself, but it's just kind of lazily going through your room. And that's why you're seeing this shadow, because it's not putting a lot of energy into it. It's kind of funny because I'm like, you know, the last thing I want in my house is a ghost, to be honest with you. But a lazy ghost? Hell no. You know, if I'm going to share my house, it ain't going to be with some lazy ghost. It's too apathetic to even manifest himself properly, you know?
Well, when people say there's no such thing as God, and they ask you to prove there's a God, you really have nothing that you can hand them physically where they can believe. I believe in God. I'm, you know, very devout in my faith to God. I don't even know how to explain it. You don't have to see it to know it's there. And the same thing, I think, goes for the spirit world. You don't have to physically see them, and you don't have to prove that they're there, but they're there. Just like air. You can't see air, but you know it's there because you're breathing, right?
Right. And to that end, people report, you know, hitting cold spots, or they get chills, or, yeah, they sense. You know, I heard a lot of times, like, people will sense that a loved one passed through them and they smelled them, you know?
Yeah. Don't you get the same chill, though, when you think about God and how powerful he is?
Not in the same way as a ghost.
Well, not like an eerie sense, but like the chills, you know? That light feeling, like, I know you're there.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I get it when I watch The Chosen. And they have these moments from the Bible that I've read 1,000 times, but somehow they bring it to life in a way that I'm like, oh, that was really beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not easily moved. So I kind of get it that way.
I am. I'm big and sappy. I get moved easily by things. That's probably why I see it.
Yeah, I'm hit or miss. Another interesting explanation, they talk about possibly time travelers, which I like from a sci-fi angle. You know, I don't know if I buy into it, but they're like, say you finally figure out how to travel back in time, but you're not of that time. So what they're seeing is your presence, but not in a way like Back to the Future where you're interacting with people and stuff. Kind of a cool theory. Oh, interdimensional beings, right?
Yeah.
They're from another dimension, and they're somehow ripping through our plane of existence, but not completely. So that's what we're seeing. And of course, some people think that the black shadow persons are aliens, you know, and they're from another planet.
I have a son. I think he's 36 now. Sorry, I have 8 kids. So it's like, you know, playing the lottery. I take numbers out of my head.
You got to go through the Rolodex of kids.
Yes. He's got a very philosophical mind. I mean, he analyzes everything to death. And he watches all these docu-series things and about the pyramids and aliens and stuff like that. And he firmly believes that aliens built those pyramids, and that we're going to find out one day that Christ was an alien.
Yeah, who knows? You know, but he's not the only one that thinks those pyramids were built by beings from another world. There's compelling evidence to that.
Really?
That would be a whole nother show. But do you have any good accounts of just seeing the shadow persons? Is it something that's been prevalent? How would you find it in your experience?
Well, when I was younger, I would catch a glimpse of him through the corner of my eye. My dad, rest in peace, said that he used to walk in the room and see me at like 2-3 years old having a tea party by myself, but talking to somebody in the corner of the room. And he'd ask me who it was, and I told him that it was the dark man. As I got older, I would start seeing him around the room, and it wasn't just through the corner of my eye. I could see him like I'm looking at you right now through the monitor. And At first, it was just a dark being, a dark presence, a very dark presence. As time went on, I think it was when we first moved here to this part of Wisconsin, my children saw him first, you know, as far as being able to see the facial features. They describe him as having long gray scraggly hair, sunken eyes, and he was wearing a black drover coat. My son Mason at the time was really little. He said he was wearing a top hat, but as he got older, he says it was more of a fedora. And he had chains around his feet.
That's an interesting twist on it, having the chains around his feet.
But he was also wearing fingerless gloves when my son Dante saw him. And he was peeking around the corner from my laundry room into the family room. And you know how you motion for somebody to come towards you with your finger, your pointer finger?
Yeah.
The hat man or shadow man, whatever you want to call him, did that to him. Like, come here. In a very creepy, eerie way. And my son came running up the stairs to the kitchen and he said, Mom, there's a creepy guy downstairs in the basement and he is telling me to come to him. And I came flying down the stairs and I'm checking the whole house. And that's why in my book, I titled him The Creep. That's what we ended up calling him. And we've seen him ever since.
That's wild. What makes a creepy shadow guy think he's going to do the old finger pull and bring somebody over? You're going to have like an ice cream cone or an iPhone to sweeten the deal, you know? Or it's not going to happen. So do you get the sense that he's like a malevolent spirit?
Yes. I mean, ever since I was a kid and I first saw him and I remember seeing him, I can sit here and go back in time and remember exactly how I felt. And I felt like he's a bad person and he wants to hurt me.
Did he ever speak?
Never. Whenever he's around, there's been several occasions that my kids and myself, we can hear this like animal growling. You know, like when a dog is mad and he's like warning you, don't come near me because I'm going to mess you up.
Right.
That's how we hear this growl. And I mean, you've heard recordings when you and I have spoken and you said you've heard things in the background. One of the recordings that you sent me, you know, those sounds that you picked up on?
Yeah.
There was a growling sound in there that sounded very familiar to me.
Ah, because it could have been this shadow man.
You could have been picking up on that, yeah.
Interesting. Let's play that for him right now. I'll pull that up. Yeah, so that's what it was through the entire interview I did with you back then. And we kind of touched on it, I think, in the first episode, but if I didn't, I'll repeat it. I checked that against any possible echoes or things within my sound frequencies to see, like, was that just my voice coming back through the mic or was it somebody else talking? And the sound frequency pattern didn't match anything that was happening anywhere near that time frame. It just seemed to be its completely own thing, you know, so it was really wild. And disruptive, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, when you played it back, I was really mind blown because I know I've captured things myself, but I've never had an experience where a complete stranger has picked up on it. I mean, I get voices in the phone and my mom has heard it. My children have heard it. I could be talking on the phone to them and all of a sudden we hear like really strange demonic type sounds. Or other people talking. You know, remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember, I'm 61, and when I was a kid, my grandma had a party line on the phone. Do you remember?
Yeah, that was before my time, but I know what you're talking about. But yeah, if people don't know, a party line, you didn't have your own dedicated phone. It might be the whole neighborhood. So when you're talking, you pick up the phone and your neighbor's talking to your other neighbor and you can either sit and listen to them or you can, wait until you get an empty line. But I bet people were a lot more discreet about the conversations they had on the phone.
Yeah, it's not like today where you pick up your phone and nobody else is listening in. I'm sure there were a lot of transactions, if you will, that went on in code.
You're right. That's funny. And it was probably, yeah, just strictly business.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And as a kid, I would pick up the phone and I'd hear people talking on there. And I was like, well, this is pretty cool. And I'd sit as a kid, you know, 6, 7 years old, and I'd listen in on adult conversations. And my grandma would come in the room and she'd say, hang up that damn phone. You're going to get us in trouble. But I just thought it was the coolest thing. But it's kind of like a party line when I'm talking to my family, because I will pick up different voices and they hear it as well. It's not just me.
Creepy Radio Show will return after these messages. Welcome back to that Creepy Radio Show.
So other psychologist explanations tie this to, guess what? Sleep paralysis. They're saying that people see these things because they're in a semi-state of consciousness between dreams and reality and consciousness. And so this is why they're seeing them. But obviously, it doesn't hold a lot of water because, like you said, your son saw it while he was watching TV.
Yeah.
Why is it on video? You can't video a hallucination.
And I've seen them in the broad daylight, you know.
Believe it or not, it's common among methamphetamine addicts. They report a lot of shadow people, which you're like, well, yeah. But one of the meth heads interestingly pointed out, yeah, it's common to our condition, but you never see shadow birds. You never see shadow dogs. You never see shadow cars. It's always shadow men.
Yeah.
Why are all the hallucinations the same?
Going back to our last episode, we spoke about that too, about how I believe that when you drink alcohol or do any type of drugs, you open up that portal in your mind where evil can enter, you know. I truly believe that if you see a light spirit or ghost or whatever you want to call it, that they're a good being. And when you see a black shadow man, shadow woman, whatever you want to call it, shadow person, I believe that it's evil. Some people have linked it to the shadow of death, Grim Reaper. I don't think so, because there's more than one.
And your experience with them doesn't seem to follow or precede a death, right?
No, never. Never. And that's what I thought at first, you know, because like I was talking to my mom about it as a teenager. And I said, Mom, does that mean somebody's going to die? And she said, it's a good possibility if you're seeing the shadow of death. And that's what she thought it was, too. But the Hat Man is a totally different entity. Totally different. I think he's like the leader of the shadow people. Kind of like what I'm going to be getting into in my book, Mr. Christopher Wants to See You. It all ties back to my childhood and my grandma's childhood. I really, truly believe that that shadow man is Mr. Christopher.
Yeah, let's talk about that book for a second.
Okay.
And what is the premise of it?
Well, it's a story about my grandma Rose and her four sisters. They grew up very poor. They were dirt floor poor. That's a term that you should really take the time to look up. Dirt floor poor meant they didn't even have flooring. It was an actual dirt floor.
Yeah, I've actually, back in the day, drank at a few bars that had a dirt floor.
Okay. Not everybody knows what that means. They just think you grew up in a dirty house.
Yeah, I've been some real redneck bars that had that.
They were farmers, and my grandmother's mother, so that's my great-grandmother, Polly, she passed away on Christmas Day when my grandma Rose was 9 years old. And when Grandma Rose went in to wake her mom up for Christmas to tell her, you know, Mom, it's Christmas morning, they found out that she was dead. She couldn't wake her. And my great-grandfather came in to the room, you know, told my Grandma Rose to get out of the room because he didn't want her to know at that moment. And then he came into the room where all the kids were and told them that great-grandma Polly was dead and that the girls were going to be going to an orphanage and the boys were going to stay on the farm and work with him. That's how poor they were. They had to send the girls away because they couldn't do the work that the boys could. It basically, the whole story is about the five girls growing up for like 5 or 6 years in this orphanage. Things that happened inside the orphanage. It was run by a group of nuns that weren't good nuns. They were evil nuns practicing bad things.
You know, they were tormented by a dark force that goes well beyond just being naughty nuns.
Yeah, and a couple of her sisters. It was the three of them growing up in this orphanage together that were really close. But one of them was consumed by the dark force that was within the walls of this orphanage. Some really bad things happened. They saw a lot of very horrific things. They saw evil that they could never have imagined in their life. You know, you go from a little farm girl to nuns in the city of Sparta that were just so dark, so evil. They didn't know how to deal with it, but they had to pull up everything inside of them to get through it and try to band together. One of my grandma's sisters, Ruth, ended up going deaf and mute because she got, I think it was German measles. They couldn't get her to stop crying, the nuns. They put her in a closet, a dark closet, and she stayed in there for a long period of time. And when they brought her out, she was deaf and mute. And they didn't get her any medical attention. And she was separated from her sisters. Her sisters had no access to her. And that was their main objective, was getting in to see little Ruth. So they would go on these little adventures through the orphanage, trying to get the key, trying to get in to see Ruth. And then they discovered all these dark secrets. There was an incident where a nun actually died because of all this, but she was a bitter, nasty old nun, according to my grandma, and she basically deserved to die.
Well, it's all coming back to me now. By the way, I'm a big fan of Nikki's books. What a great story it was. It's all coming back to me. It was really cool. And then at some point, the darkness was escalating and stuff to where the girls were being physically attacked.
Yes.
Waking up with scratches, things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, check it out. It's called Mr. Christopher Wants to See You, and it's on Amazon.
Well, thanks for that plug.
Quick little plug. Yeah. I was looking up little stories about the shadow people and how many people tend to see it. If you go on like Reddit or anywhere somebody mentions this, the stories just start pouring. And I'll read just a couple.
Okay.
This is from thethoughtcatalog.com. Walking up the stairs towards me. About 10 years ago, me and my sister were home alone. Lots of shit had been happening. Parents divorcing, blah, blah, blah. I've never really believed in the paranormal, but I've always been open to possibilities. Anyway, it was around 3 a.m. My sis was downstairs watching the telly, and my room was upstairs, and I had to go to the bathroom. Now, the bathroom faced a flight of stairs, and you could always see the glare from the light of the street illuminating the living room and whatnot downstairs. But this one time, because I always looked downstairs while going to the loo, there was no glare. There was no glow from the telly my sister was watching. All I could see that one time was this amorphous blackness walking up the stairs or hovering, I don't know. It was the first time in my effing life I ever felt this terror within me. I froze then, and there for a couple seconds, when I could move, I ran to my room, turned on the lights, and sat on my bed trying to figure out what the hell had just happened. I don't know what it was called. It looked like a shadow. It was coming towards me. It scared me shitless. The house was effing creepy, man.
Okay, I've got an interesting one from Reddit. I did take the liberty of paraphrasing a little bit, as Reddit users tend to rush posts and abandon certain rules of grammar. It reads, "This happened to me and one of my close friends a few years ago. Let's call this friend Sam. I met Sam through playing video games online with my other friend, Ninja. We became close friends that would hop online almost every night to hang out and talk. We all had an interest in the paranormal, so we often talked about it. One night in spring, we brought up the subject of Ouija boards. Both Sam and Ninja owned them, but I was raised in a religious home and I swore up and down that I would never touch one, mainly because I have seen too many stories about it going very wrong very quickly. They talked about how nothing ever happened and how it was all just mind games to scare people. We soon forgot about the conversation within a few weeks and continued with our lives. Sometime later in the summer, around 1:30 to 2:30 a.m., I got a phone call from Sam. He lived in the northern U.S. while I lived in the south. I picked up the phone as I was still awake and heard Sam in a panic. He was crying, which worried me. When I asked him what was wrong, he exclaimed, "Something got me. Something is inside my house." We quickly connected on FaceTime, and I saw him in front of his house in his yard. He was out of breath and was pacing back and forth, running his fingers through his hair. I asked him to explain what had happened, and he told me he and his cousin were playing the Ouija board earlier that night in his room. At some point, they had started hearing noises and knocks in their room. His cousin and Sam told whatever they had summoned to leave immediately, and they ended the game. Soon his cousin left to go home, and Sam retired to his bed. By this account, Sam woke up in the middle of the night and looked up at the doorway. He saw a shadow figure staring at him. I should mention that Sam has seen a shadow figure around his room before, but never felt anything bad about it. He said the room felt cold and dark, like the shadow was there to hurt him. When he saw the shadow disappear, he ran out of the room and upstairs to the kitchen, hoping that a drink might calm his nerves. As his eyes drifted upward to a window above the sink, he saw a demonic face staring back at him through the window. He felt sheer terror set in as his face simply vanished. He grabbed his phone and called me, running out of the house as he told me what had happened. I advised him that he'd probably freaked himself out after playing that stupid board again. He assured me that it wasn't his imagination and that what he saw was real. I suggested that he go back inside the house and show me where he had seen it. He protested at first, not wanting to return. I convinced him that a paranormal investigator would go back inside to get proof. I know it was a stupid argument, but it worked. He went to open the front door, took a deep breath, and headed back to the kitchen. He pointed to the window from a distance and told me it was in the lower corner when he saw it. He then took a photo from his device and said, "I think I caught something." I asked, "What did you find?" He sent me a close-up of the photo where I could discern the outline of a face with pointy ears. My stomach dropped and I urged him to go to his cousin's house for the night. We hung up so that he could call his cousin, and we texted for a while later that night. I also texted Ninja, and thankfully she was still up gaming. I told her everything that had transpired. She was creeped out much like I was. After our conversation, I went offline and headed to bed, making sure to pray for our safety. I typically don't pray much, but after this type of night, I felt it was called for. The next morning I woke up, and as I arose from my bed, I felt something wet on my face and my room felt dark and heavy. I touched beneath my nose, where I sensed the wetness. My finger was covered in blood. I got up, went to the bathroom, and washed. I called Ninja immediately, recounting the bloody nose. Understand that I never had nosebleeds. I only recall having had one, and that was after I got hit in the nose by my sibling. Ninja was afraid for me and Sam's safety, and thought we should cleanse ourselves and the space that we were in. To that effect, I burned sage, starting in my room, working my way through the house as I prayed. I deleted the photo from my phone and the message that Sam sent me. Sam repeated the sage ritual and rid himself of the Ouija board. Sam still sees occasional shadow persons, but claims it's not the same one from that night, just the regular one that he has seen since moving into that house. I haven't had any more nosebleeds, and my space feels safe and inviting again. You don't have to believe me, but this is a true story of what happened to me and my best friend. We wanted to share this story to warn others about Ouija boards and what can happen if you reach something bad.
Another one. This one's called It Opened the Window. I was a kid, maybe 10 years old. I had just gone to bed and was wide awake. It takes me a long time to get to sleep, with the window open to my room. I looked out the window and there was a shadow that looked like the outline of a man looking in. My room was on the second story of our house and we had peak roofs, so I'm 99% sure it wasn't just a person looking in. It was a shadow. I screamed and ran to my parents' room and told them that I saw a shadow in the window. They went and looked and it was gone, but my dad joked about a floating head for weeks. We'll do the last one. This one's called I've Seen Them All My Life. I've seen shadow people my entire life, as far back as I can remember. One of my first memories of a house my family moved into when I was 9 was when I got in bed and seeing the Hat Man standing near my closet. I was not asleep in the slightest. I had just climbed in bed and was sitting up. The last one I saw was about 2 years ago after I was sitting outside smoking on my porch. I live on a very quiet suburban street. I saw someone walk down the cross street to my left and disappear under a street lamp. It was weird because I could clearly see that silhouette of a human, but it wasn't human because it was so dark. Then it walked near the street lamp and was just gone. Weird as shit.
Okay, my turn. This one says, yes, I've had experiences with shadow people, and not only them, but also shadow animals. These have occurred in my home. One day I was working, I had a break, and since I was in my home, I stopped to make a quick sandwich for breakfast of scrambled eggs. As I was cooking, I saw someone walking down the hall towards my bedroom. I had the feeling he was wearing Western clothes, boots, and a cowboy hat. I didn't think much about it until it occurred to me that I was alone in my home at the time. It didn't scare me or anything, but that's probably because I've had other strange things happen and still do at times. Since life and love are eternal, love would never separate you from the people that you love. Death is just a transition into another form. Your physical body is cast off, just like getting rid of an old piece of clothing that's no longer needed. Therefore, even though many people aren't aware of it, their loved ones are still with them and aware of what's happening in their lives. Shadow people and pets are a manifestation, as are ghosts, of that. And certainly nothing to be afraid of, simply because they love you as you love them. Now, when they talked about the Western clothing, that's kind of what I described the Shadow Man as being that I see and saw in my time. I said he was wearing a drover coat, but the difference was it was a fedora, not a Western style hat.
Right, but that was the first thing that grabbed me when they said that.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know if I agree with what that person actually wrote. I mean, not every spirit is somebody that you know. I don't think they're all your loved ones, because I've experienced to the contrary.
Right. That's another thing, is when we talk about this, especially you, I always notice you say, I feel like, I believe. You don't speak in absolutes like you had it all figured out. And sometimes when they talk like, you know, nothing to worry about, kid, you don't know that.
Yeah, because I've read lots of stories about the Shadow Man where one person is like, no, that's the Grim Reaper. That's all. That's it. That's the end of the story. No need to look any further. I've also spoken with people who said it was the shadow of death.
Right. And we're always just guessing.
Nobody knows for sure. And I don't think any of us will ever know until we die and we experience what happens after we're gone.
Agree 100%. Well, when we come back from this commercial break, we'll get into the Hat Man.
Yeah.
That creepy radio show will return after these messages. Welcome back to that creepy radio show.
Welcome back to that creepy radio show. we were talking about the Shadow Man or the Hat Man, where people had experienced the Shadow Man or Hat Man. It got me thinking about my own personal experiences with it. The room that I'm in right now, my office slash bedroom, it used to be Mason's bedroom, my 25-year-old son. He's child number 7 in rank. On the walls, I have 2 closets. One is on the north wall and one is on the west wall. And they're mirrored closet doors. The last week that Mason was here, he was talking about moving out. We were talking about all his plans and everything. He decided to get his own apartment. He's going to college, so I didn't mind him being at home. He's a hard worker. He works as an EMT. And he was telling me that in the last week that he was here, he would see the Shadow Man walking from the north closet doors, the mirrored closet doors, to the west closet doors. And it was like he was traveling between mirrors. So I don't know what kind of trickery he's up to, but I definitely feel his presence when I'm in this room. Like talking to you right now, I feel as if he's standing like right behind me and the west mirror closet door right over my shoulder. Like I said, my kids and I have seen his facial features, and the longer it goes on in my life, the more we see of him. Like I said, we can describe him as having long gray scraggly hair, sunken eyes, just a very evil, evil presence.
An evil presence that dresses like a flasher.
Well, that's one way to put it.
But when he opens his coat, there's nothing there. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would happen if he opened up his coat? I mean, at one point in time, I had a picture on my profile on Facebook, and it showed a man standing on the railroad tracks with a hoodie on, and you could see right through the hoodie the other end of the railroad tracks. What if that's what's underneath his drover coat?
A hoodie?
Just nothingness.
Yeah, I assume that's exactly what's under there.
Or what if it's what befalls you? You know, what's to come? What if he can show you your fate?
Does he ever really personally interact with people? He did summon the kid with the finger, so.
Yeah.
But a lot of these, it's more like he's just some kind of voyeur that's sitting in the corner.
Yeah, just lurking like death.
Yeah, he's a lurker.
Yeah. There's a little writing that I did, a little piece that I wrote in the back of my book, Fire Within Me. And it talks about how I've exposed what has been going on, you know, the dark things that have been happening in my life, and how I felt at that given moment that now that they're exposed, that they're going to consume me body and soul. I do feel like there was a presence that encouraged me to write what I wrote and expose them. But I definitely feel like the entire time that I was writing my books, that they were looming over my shoulder and reading what I wrote. And I'd just like to read what I wrote. It's in the back of my book. It says, "The demons are lurking about silently because they have been exposed. Now I dwell in the darkness waiting for them to devour me, body and soul."
I picture the Hat Man behind you doing like the finger across the throat. He's like, "Snitches get stitches."
Yeah, and end up in ditches. The last time I spoke with you, weird things always happen when I'm going to talk to you about this type of thing. You're the only person that I can sit down and talk in depth about it and, you know, not have people grow tired of it or bored. But look at what happened right before we went on the computer to talk to each other. I couldn't get my Wi-Fi to work on my phone or on my laptop. My daughter was in Gurnee, Illinois for a pageant for my granddaughters, and somebody stole her truck. And it's all these little distractions.
Right.
Oh, and then 10 seconds before I went online with you, my hot water heater blew, and it was only 5 years old. Every time I talk about it, something crazy happens.
You know, that wasn't the end of it, Nikki. I didn't tell you. When I was helping my sister move the other day, I brought my laptop over and I was almost done with the show. I only had to do a few minutes left of part 3, right?
Uh-huh.
So I plug it in like I always do, and I use this laptop all the time. I use it at work. I use it wherever I am. I plug in and start pulling up stuff, and when I pull up the sound files, my voice is gone.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I'm like, wait a minute, what the heck? I had this, you know? And I open it up again, and I'm looking, and my voice is gone. So I'm like, well, let me see part two. Part two, my voice is gone. The whole soundtrack is gone, right?
Oh, wow.
And three's okay, but it's only half done. And I was like, you know, come on. So I go back and I open some backup files. The backup files are the same way. You're on there, I'm not. You know, there's all these different versions of the backup. And sometimes it's only half yours, or it's all of it, but it's not been edited, you know, and spliced and stuff. It was funny because that's the first thing I thought of is like, man, they're always trying to get in the way, you know? And I just kind of said, you got the wrong guy. I will fix this, you know? And on a technical side, when you're editing, there's a text file that parses out all the things that are happening. So I went into the text files and started seeing where the corruptions were and pasting things and fixing it. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to close this. And when I go home, I'm going to get it on another computer and it's going to work. And sure enough, that night I got home. First thing I did was take that drive, plug it into the computer, and everything was back.
Oh, wow. See, you're a mega genius. I wouldn't have even thought of that. I would have thought it's all gone. It's all crap now.
Well, no, I was saying you got the wrong guy, because even if I have to take the original files, I will redo this entire thing again. No way the show doesn't happen. Sure enough, when I plugged it back in, everything was back to normal, and I didn't have to spend too much time on it. But it's just weird. It's always something, you know?
Do you remember back in the 80s, Max Headroom?
Sure.
How he would glitch and his head would shake back and forth? That's what just happened on the screen just now.
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
That's why I don't edit video, though, because I said everybody's going to look like Max Headroom, because I do so many back and forth and switching things around. Okay, let me see if I can find any Hatman phenomena stories. Okay, here we go. This is off of theaustinseance.com. In 2018, Quartz Magazine reported the story of 14-year-old Tim Brown, who saw a hat man one night after a strange noise emanated from his television and startled him awake. And that's when we saw him, reported the magazine. The dark figure of a man, as featureless as the shadows where he stood. He was tall. He wore a broad-brimmed hat and a trench coat. He didn't say a word. He didn't need to. The fear sucked the breath from Brown's chest, rendering him mute and immobile. The man lingered just outside the frame of Brown's bedroom door, flickering in the shadows. Another eyewitness, in an interview with the Hat Man Project website, described a man in a wide-brimmed hat and black trench coat. I remember seeing what I have now come to believe was the Hat Man back in 1971, when I was 6 years old. I slept in a room by myself, and one night I awoke. I had no idea as to what time it was, but knew it had to have been in the wee hours of the morning. I woke to the presence of something in my room. When I looked up, there was a man standing next to my bed, right by me, only inches away, and looking down on me. I couldn't see his face. It was just black. He had on a black, wide-brimmed hat and a long black trench coat. He just stood there. I was terrified. I quickly pulled the covers over my head. My heart racing, I recited the Lord's Prayer in my head as I was too afraid to speak. It took me a few minutes to pick up the courage to peek out, but when I did, he was gone. And that's an interesting part of this too. And a lot of the research I did, they said reciting the Lord's Prayer or invoking the name of Jesus seems to drive these things away. Mm-hmm. Which again lends itself to that maybe they don't have the greatest intentions if they're running at the name of Christ, right?
Well, that's what I was going to bring up. I also put in my first book, Fire Within Me, how my kids and I used to sit around the dining room table and we would say the rosary every night. When the spirit activity was really high, we would sit there and physically, as we're praying the rosary, light bulbs in the chandelier above my head would start bursting. And I'm not saying they just pop off, you know, to black. the light bulbs themselves would actually shatter. And my kids would scream and they'd run away from the table. And I'm like, no, you need to get back here. You need to get back on task. This is what he wants. He wants this to stop. He doesn't want us to pray. Whoever this is does not want us to pray. So you have to pray even harder. And we would sit there and we would pray and more light bulbs would burst. And I would, you know, start reciting even louder, you know, the Hail Marys and the Our Fathers and everything else that goes into praying the rosary. And it got to a point where I would start voice recording. I'd use a tape recorder, the old school cassette player that I used to use when I was like 15, 16 years old. And I first started off trying to capture EMF and EVP and things like that. We actually got them mocking us, saying the rosary. It was demonic voices. And you know how a voice can be taunting and, you know, mocking. And yeah, I'd be saying, yeah, "Our Father who art in heaven." And behind me, you would hear, Our Father who art in heaven. You know, real creepy and sarcastic and taunting.
Yeah, that is like exorcist stuff.
We've also got it where at first I thought it was in another language. I couldn't tell where they were saying, you know, as they were speaking as we were speaking, and it was either another language or it was playing backwards. And I still have those tapes. I don't know what to say about it. I mean, and just like when you were reading the other people's stories of the Hat Man, they describe him as wearing a trench coat. Even as a kid, I knew it was a drover coat. And I don't know if you're familiar with what a drover coat is, but like back in the old West, the cowboys would wear these long drover coats, you know, like the rifle.
Yeah, so they could hide their shotgun in there.
And it definitely wasn't a big brimmed hat. It was just a fedora.
It hasn't seemed to change. There's exact same stories all over the world. They're in Asia. They're in London. They're in Australia, South America. Everybody the same thing. And it's been going on, like you said, for hundreds of years. Like now you've got the internet, and I think the power of suggestion could be strong. And maybe that accounts for why this seems to be happening more and more. Or, you know, we're spiraling toward a more cataclysmic event. Who knows? But back then there was no internet.
No, not at all.
But they were seeing the same things.
Yeah, and I think nowadays people are more inclined to speak freely about what they've seen because, you know, back then, back in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, if you would have spoke of these things, you would have been in one of those insane asylums because they contributed it to mental illness.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe mental illness, you know, makes you vulnerable to these kinds of things anyway.
Or maybe it's not mental illness at all. It's just a bad diagnosis for people that don't want to face the facts that it is demonic possession.
Or at least, demonic suppression, right?
Yeah. I mean, I believe that little kids are born with autism and things like that. I mean, I don't deny that. I don't rebuke that theory. But have you ever seen somebody that's schizophrenic?
Yes.
I do truly believe that is full on demonic possession. One of my sons is bipolar and manic depressive. And I believe it's because he swears that there is no God. Even though he was raised in a house where that's all I talked about, you know, everything good in life, I believe, came from God. It was God's doing. And everything bad in the world, I believe you turned your back on God and it happened.
I read online people think that maybe the Hat Man is the devil himself.
Yeah, I've felt that. And I think I mentioned it last week. If it's not the devil himself, it's one of his minions. And I don't mean a nice, cute little yellow character. Kind of like the old Westerns where the good guys wore white and the bad guys wore black. Yeah. I really, truly believe that's true in the spirit world.
Yeah, those archetypes and stereotypes exist for a reason. Biblically speaking, it always reminds me of Job when God talks to the devil and he's like, "Where you been?" And he's like, "Roaming the earth."
I think I mentioned Job in Fire Within Me, the first book I wrote, where I said that I looked up to the heavens and I asked God, "What am I, Job Part 2?
Job is the most disturbing story in the Bible, I think.
Oh, yeah. Because
people don't know the story if you're not like biblically inclined. Job was this devout follower of God. He was a loyal servant. And him and the devil are talking, and he's like, look how nice Job is. And the devil's like, well, sure, he's nice. You've given him this great life. But if you killed his family off, you know, he'd certainly turn against you. So they do, and Job is still devout. And he's like, well, you got to, I can't remember the whole details, but basically like, well, you got to burn down his house. Well, you got to kill all his cattle. You got to burn his fields. And, oh, you got to put sores and lesions all over his body, you know. And the point of the story is that he never broke faith. And in the end, he ends up with a new family and everything back. But I think most of us get to the end of that and we're like, what the hell?
I try to explain when my kids were young, really young, where they couldn't understand all the these and the thous of the Bible. I mean, I have a hard time with it, but I try to explain Job to my kids like there was this man and his name was Job, and God and the devil were having a conversation looking on Job and his life, and the devil says, I bet I could get him. And God says, no, you can't. He's too faithful. And in the end, God says, no matter what you put upon my son, he's always going to come home. And the devil lost.
Yeah, and then God was like, look, I killed your wife and kids. Here, I'll give you another one. It doesn't work like that. Oh, well, you replaced them, so no harm done.
Yeah.
That's not how any of that works.
Nope.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. So if everyone's sufficiently creeped out, we're going to send you off well with the St. Michael prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And they do prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. So while you're out there, be careful, stay safe, and stay creepy.